Good Sunday morning to you and Happy New Year. I am Carol Devine, the pastor of Providence Christian Church in Brandon Crossing. When I was a child, my mom had an assigned meeting place in large spaces like the mall, just in case I got separated from her. Her perspective might be that I had a tendency to let my imagination get the best of me and wander off. My perspective at the time was that she took forever to shop and always seemed to run into people she knew and then would talk to them forever. But in her wisdom, she made sure I always knew where I was to go to wait for her. In the mall, it was at the office of Sears on the second floor. The Gospel of Luke gives us a glimpse into Jesus' childhood with a similar story. At the end of chapter 2, the Holy Family goes to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover, which they did every year. But on this particular occasion, Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. Now, Jesus was not a young child. He was 12 years old when he got separated from his parents. So maybe Mary and Joseph did not think they needed a place for their pre-teen son to meet them. And perhaps it was less imagination and more pushing the boundaries, more exerting his independence that got Jesus separated from his parents. After 3 days of looking for him, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. But once Mary laid eyes on him, she said, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." But the preteen Jesus said, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" While we see the temple as the obvious place to look for Jesus, Mary and Joseph were confused by the whole experience. He was just too old to get lost. This was, for the Holy Family, the beginning of the fun that comes with having a teenager. A decisive break occurs here. Jesus was separating himself from his earthly parents and dedicating himself more fully to the service of his heavenly Father. And the text shows it. Luke says they all went up to the festival in Jerusalem. They came to the festival. But after Mary and Joseph found him in the temple, it says he, meaning Jesus, went down with his parents to Nazareth. They came. And he and his parents returned home. Jesus was becoming his own man and exerting his independence. I love the regular stories about Jesus, the ones that make him seem like a normal person. I love that, like me, he got separated sometimes from his mother and then was scolded for it. I love that, like me, he worshiped with his family and celebrated religious holidays with them in a community of faith. I love that, like me, he pushed the boundaries with his parents, but also respectfully submitted to their authority. He was the Messiah, but he was also still a boy who in the end needed to be obedient to Mary and Joseph. The Holy Family did what normal families do. They worshipped and celebrated, they ate and traveled, and they worried about their child and reprimanded him when necessary. Like normal citizens, they were required to participate in the government's census and pay taxes. Like normal women, when it was time for the baby to be born, Mary and Joseph could not delay the birth for a more convenient time or place. Like normal parents, they dedicated their infant son in the temple. Like normal parents, they were concerned first and foremost with the safety of their child and fled to Egypt, where they lived for a few years as refugees in order to keep Jesus safe from King Herod. And when their almost teenage boy went missing, like normal parents, they looked for him. And when they could not find him, they got very anxious. Age 12 has long been a time when young girls and boys around the world go through rites of passage, such as baptisms and confirmations. It is the time when our children go from being part of the they of the family to the he or she with the family. The teenage years are when our children transition to adulthood. When they figure out who they are and what they believe about themselves and the world, it is the time when our children develop their sense of identity. Our passage at the end of Luke chapter 2 raises all kinds of questions about Jesus and his own sense of identity. He seems, of course, to have been especially sensitive to spiritual things. He listened to his elders and also questioned their perspective. And all around him were amazed by the level of his understanding. But that's pretty much all we know about his life growing up and his identity development. From childhood to adulthood, there is a huge gap in Jesus's life that we call the missing years. There have been many attempts through the centuries at filling in the gaps. An ancient writing called the Infancy Gospel of Thomas claims that at age 5, Jesus made birds out of mud and then clapped his hands and made them fly away. When he was older, it says, Jesus raised a boy from the dead so that that boy could set the record straight that it had not been Jesus who pushed him off the roof. Stories in other ancient writings take him to England, and others say he spent years in India. Perhaps he did make clay birds, spend time in India, and traveled to England. While we cannot know for sure, it is fun to imagine what he might have done and where he might have gone in the missing years as he developed his identity and prepared for his ministry and God's purposes. But whatever scenario we imagine, whether in England or in India or in Nazareth, we know that he was spending his time with God, both in and out of his Father's house. We just began a new year, 2016. This past week, you may have watched videos and TV shows or listened on the radio to the best and worst of 2015. As we remember all that happened in the world in 2015, it is the perfect time for all of us to give some thought to our own best of 2015. But I encourage you to do it a bit differently. Instead of listing the top 20 or 25 things you did, list the times in 2015 you most experienced God. Ponder the times, good and bad, that you felt God's presence or experienced God in some way. At times, we find God in every rock and tree, in every smiling face and child's eyes, in the radical welcome of a stranger, or in global solidarity after international tragedies. But other times, we feel like Mary and Joseph when they were desperately looking for a Jesus who seemed to be missing. Sometimes we wonder where God has been in the midst of the headline tragedies and in the midst of our own personal heartaches. We do not always see or feel God. In the early 1500s, there was a Spanish knight named Ignatius. He came from a wealthy and noble family. But after being seriously wounded in battle in 1521, he had a spiritual conversion that caused him to abandon his military life and devote himself to God. He began praying for 7 hours a day, often in a cave. He and some of his followers bound themselves to each other by vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. In 1539, they formed the Jesuits. Saint Ignatius charged his students to find God in all things, through spiritual practices to learn how to bring the Lord back to their mind flow every few seconds, so that eventually Christ was always in their minds. To demonstrate how this can work, if you were to close your eyes for about 30 seconds thinking of one and only one color, when you open your eyes and look around, chances are you will see that color everywhere. When your mind is primed for a specific color, your eyes will start to see it in places normally overlooked. Similarly, once our eyes and hearts are primed to look for God, we begin to see God everywhere. They say if we want to lose weight, the first thing we have to do is to record everything we eat. We have to write it all down. Just by doing that raises our awareness of what we're putting in our bodies. People all over the place now are wearing bracelets like Fitbit that record how much exercise they get. That also is to raise their awareness of how much or little they are moving. In the same vein, if we want to become more aware of God and find Christ in all things, we should start by writing it all down. Find a notebook or journal, and each night before bed, write down any moment that you saw or felt God that day. In a short time, our eyes and hearts will be primed, and we will find God all over the place. We can be students of St. Ignatius in 2016 and practice finding God at all times and in all places, consistently bringing Christ back to our mind flow as we go throughout our day. Mary and Joseph were searching for Jesus and eventually found their preteen son in the temple, in God's house. But the psalmist reminds us that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. All we have to do is simply open our eyes to discover God. And while I hope you always can find Christ in church, and especially in worship, even if you do not, it is in church, surrounded by a community of faith, that we learn how to search for Christ. Through prayer, hymns, study, sermons, and communion, our eyes are primed to see Christ. As we work and serve together, we find Christ in each other, and we point out the holy in the world. Other people of faith help us find God when we're not able to see God, and are at times God's very presence for us. So once again, Happy New Year. And in 2016, may you find God in unexpected places and in unexpected people each and every day. You are welcome to worship with us at Providence Christian Church any Sunday at 10:45 a.m. You can find us behind the Brandon Crossing Shopping Center, and you can also find us online. May God bless you and keep you in this new year and forevermore. May it be so. And amen.